Genesis chapter 30, looking at the life of Joseph, and the topic or the series entitled "Living the Dream." And that song we just sang talks about he can do so much more than we could ever dream. And we need to let God give us his dreams for our lives and his will for our lives, and let him work and lead and guide in our lives for his glory. I want us to look, as we continue to look at the life of Joseph, we've been looking at some background information, looking at his family dynamic, helping us understand a little bit about where he came from. I personally like listening to people's stories. I can't even remember who it was I was with this week, but they started sharing about their faith, and then they kept on backing up to explain, you know, the backstory to the story they were telling, and we ended up getting way back into their family history. And he said, "You probably didn't want to know all this." And I said, "I love knowing all this. I love hearing people's stories." And, you know, our life we live now is really, it's not full, it's not complete without knowing the backstory. Our history shapes us into who we are today, where we came from, makes us who we are. And aren't you thankful that God's grace can mix in with where we came from to make us what he wants us to be? I'm so thankful for that. I want us to look, if you would please, in chapter 31. I'm going to read the first three verses of chapter 31. And then we're going to go back to chapter 30 and see what he's talking about. As we continue looking at the life of Joseph, the title of the message this morning is "Being the Blessing to Others God Intended." One of the things that God wants to use your life for is to bless other people. Parents, part of why God has put the children into your life that he's put into your life is to be a blessing to them, to prepare them for a blessed life with the Lord. That's our job before God, and we're going to give an account for that job. But even with our neighbors and our friends and our fellow members of a church or the people we work with, God has you where he has you so he can not only bless you, but he can use you to be a blessing to other people. It's not the proverbial motto, it's really not all about you, right? That is so true when it comes to the Christian life. It's not all about us. It's really all about God and his will for our lives and how he wants to work through us to reach other people. So Genesis 31, first three verses say this in God's word. "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, 'Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory.' And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, 'Return unto the land of thy fathers, and of thy kindred, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee.'" Here God speaks to Jacob. A lot of things Jacob had been doing up to this point had all been Jacob. Jacob was kind of running his life. The name Jacob means supplanter or trickster, and he lived up to his name, no doubt about it. You can go back further in Genesis and you can see some of the things that he did to live up to his name, trickster. But here in this passage, we see God speaking to him and God calling him to leave where he is in Syria and to go back to the homeland of the Jews in Israel, and to go back there to his homeland, to his father's land, and to be there, to get there before his father dies. And he does do that. He gets there before his father dies. But notice what God says in chapter 3. "I will be with thee." You know, when we're going through life, we have choices to make. We can either live with the Lord, or we can live independently of the Lord. And there's a lot of people They live independently of the Lord. Some people don't believe in the Lord. They just kind of do their own thing, and they just figure we eat, we drink, we live, we die, and we're done. But even some people who don't believe that, and they do believe in the hereafter, and they do believe in a deity, and they even believe that that deity is God, and they even believe that deity is a triune deity, and Father, Son, and Spirit, and they even say that they've put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're indwelt with the Spirit of God, and they're a child of God, they still live their lives largely independent of God. And what we see in Jacob to this point is a person who is a child of God. He was a Jew. He was part of the children of God. But he was living his life independent of God. And we're going to see a transformation take place in his life that I'm kind of thinking, and I don't know any of this for sure, but I'm kind of thinking it had a big impact on Joseph to help Joseph deal with what he had to deal with. Parents, I'm telling you this, your life impacts your children. Amen. Grandparents, I'm telling you this, your life impacts your grandchildren. Yeah. You can live independent of God, but there will be some fallout. You can do your own thing, but there will be some fallout. You can live on your own terms, but there will be some fallout. And that fallout may take generations to fully come to fruition. Or you can live life God's way. You can choose to follow God. You can choose to follow His ways. You can choose to live under His authority. You can choose to let His right be your right and His wrong be your wrong and let Him call the shots and let Him guide you in life and go where He tells you to go and stay where He tells you to stay and say what He tells you to say and don't say what He's told you not to say and let Him direct you. And I'm telling you right now, the harvest of that will last for generations. The choice is yours. See, here in this passage, there's a statement that's made about Jacob. Now, the sons of Laban are not real fans of Jacob. He came in, he was an outsider. He was not Syrian. He came in from the outside. He married their sisters, and he took care of their father's flocks. And like a lot of people in the Bible, God blessed the children of Israel. And sometimes those blessings carried over to other people. And even as we're going to see in the text, Laban realized that God was blessing him because of Jacob. And Laban's sons did not appreciate the fact that their father kind of favored Jacob because Jacob's favor kind of benefited their father. And they're accusing Jacob of taking advantage of the situation and gaining wealth while he was there. I'm not going to go into the detail. I'm not going to go into the debate on whether or not their accusations are accurate. That's really irrelevant for our point. I want you to look at the word that they used in verse 1 of chapter 31. All this glory. All this glory. The word glory here speaks of wealth. It speaks of blessings. It speaks of things that have been accumulated over time. It speaks of name and reputation. In a positive way, of course. But they speak of this glory, the glory of this wealth, talking about herds and talking about values and talking about things that Jacob had collected during the time he was there, not only working for his wives, because you remember how the story went, the trickster got tricked by Laban because he said he fell in love with Rachel right off, and he says, I want to marry your daughter. And I'll work for 7 years for your daughter. He worked for 7 years. He got married. It wasn't Rachel. It was Leah. She was the older. And that was Laban's excuse. You can't expect me to give the younger before the older. And Jacob loved Rachel so much that he said, well, I'll work another 7 years for Rachel. Just so long as I get Rachel. Because she's the one I want. And you know how the story goes. Leah had children. Rachel didn't. And then Rachel got tired of not having children, and she was jealous of the children of Leah, and she wanted a child. And so she gave her handmaid, her maidservant, to her husband to have a child with that one. Not God's plan by any stretch of the imagination. But again, these people are doing things their way instead of God's way. And her handmaid has a child, and we looked at all this before. And through the course of time, Rachel finally does have a child named Joseph. And go back to chapter 30. That's where all this is recorded. In verse 22, it says that God remembered Rachel and hearkened unto her prayers and opened her womb, and she conceived. And in verse 24, it called his name Joseph, Yosef in the Hebrew, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And that's what the name Yosef means. It means to add to. And truly, Joseph added not only to his family, but to his nation. And the Bible goes on and it continues to talk. And it says here, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. And give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done to thee." He says, "I've been working for you all these years, and you've benefited, I've benefited, we've all benefited, but it's time for me to leave." Verse 27, the Bible says, "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned," this is what Laban says about Joseph, "I have learned by experience, for all these years I've been watching, my experience is that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." He's saying, basically saying, "Jacob, I know God has blessed you, and as he's blessed you, and you've worked for me, and you've taken care of my herds and my flocks and all of that, he's blessed me as well." It's kind of interesting. The exact same thing is said about Joseph. Potiphar identified that favor was upon Joseph, and his value, his property, his house flourished under Joseph. He experienced blessing because of the child of God. And so Laban says to Jacob, "Appoint me thy wages and I'll give it. If you'll stick around, you just name your price, I'll pay it. Because I like what I see. I like the blessings I'm getting." And he goes on and he goes through this long, convoluted thing about herds. And we're not going to read all the details. You can read the details if you want to. And basically, I read several different commentaries. Some said that this was a practice that was done during this time. And I don't know if it had something to do with the chemicals in the things that he set out in front of these animals. But bottom line is, one commentary just said it was the blessing of God. And this was just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I don't know. But all I know is, the herds that were born under Joseph, under Jacob, after this agreement that he makes, and basically that's the agreement: you keep all this color of herds and flocks, and I'll keep all this color of herds and flocks. That's the short version of the story, okay? And basically, all the healthy animals that were born after they make this agreement were the color specified for Jacob. And all the unhealthy ones were the colors specified for Laban. Laban didn't appreciate that. It's interesting how that works sometimes, amen?
Oh boy.
Now, I want to go into this, and I'm not going to read more. You can read the rest of the story. I do want to read just a little bit more. Look at verse 30. It says, "For it was little which thou hadst before I came." And he says in verse 29, he says, and this is Jacob's response, he said, "Unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me." And he says, "For it was little which thou hadst before I came. And it is now increased unto a multitude. Your herds have multiplied while I've been here." It says, "The Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now When shall I provide for mine own house also? And that's what he says. So I want to leave here with some of this benefit that I've brought to you through the blessing of God. And that's when they make this deal. But Jacob even says to Laban, and Laban does not disagree with it. When I came here, you didn't have a whole lot. Now I'm getting ready to leave, and you've been blessed mightily. And I'd like to take a little bit of that benefit with me. And then they make their plan. Now, here's what I want you to, I'm going to give some stories as we continue through this series about some people who came from nothing and made much of their life, just like Jacob, just like Joseph. And the first person I want to share with you is Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was a statesman of our country, but his beginning was very meager, very modest. His dad was a candle maker, not a wealthy profession at all. In fact, he was the 15th child of 17 children. Okay, so you have a man with a meager income with 17 children. I'm thinking poverty is kind of an identifying marker there. And Benjamin Franklin, you can say anything you want to say about Benjamin Franklin, but I'm kind of thinking he was a pretty unique fella. Very special man. And many people call him a self-made man. But he got to where he got through hard work, ambition, being thrifty, penny saved, penny earned, right? Benjamin Franklin's motto. He lived it. He didn't just say it. It not only was a philosophy that he preached, but it was his code of life. Hard work, ambition, being thrifty, it can get you far in life. And none of his successes came by chance. They were created by his ceaseless way of how he organized his life to maximize his productivity. Such discipline was necessary for him because of where he came from. A very modest life. He had 2 years of formal education. That's it. He accomplished everything he accomplished with 2 years of education. After those 2 years, he educated himself by reading. He was an incessant reader. He was constantly reading. Any free time he had, he spent in a book. The thing that they say about readers are leaders, and leaders are readers, is very, very true. At 17, young Ben struck out on his own and traveled to Philadelphia. And a lot of aristocrats of his day used slave labor to free up their own time to do other things, entrepreneurial things. But Benjamin Franklin, he was not a wealthy person, and he didn't want to do that anyway. So he started a business, a printing business. That printing business, through hard work and a lot of time dedicated to it, flourished and made him a very wealthy man. And he retired at a young age and spent the rest of his life doing other things, like writing books, like even many scientific discoveries. Bifocals? Anybody here wearing bifocals? Thank Benjamin Franklin for that. Anybody ever heard of a Franklin wood stove? Heating stove. He designed that. He even made a glass harmonica. He made a lot of discoveries about lightning rods and lightning and energy. And he also developed a flexible catheter way back then. Amazing. He was a man who wrote much. And he was a statesman, as I mentioned. He was involved with the Pennsylvania State House. He was delegate to the Second Continental Congress. He was an ambassador to France. He was the president of Pennsylvania, and he was one of the founding fathers of our nation. Not too bad for a candlestick maker's son, right? Amen. See, the point I want to make is, it doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't have to determine who you are. It doesn't matter what your past is, it does not have to determine what your future will be. And a big part of it is you. A lot of it has to do with you and the choices you make and the effort you put forth and how you submit to God and honor God in your life. and let Him bless your life. And that's my first point of the message. Achieving the glory God has given. Remember Laban's sons, what they told about Jacob, about his glory? This glory that he had gathered together. My friend, I want you to understand, God wants your life to bring forth glory. Glory for Him in a spiritual way, but also glory for you in the blessings that come your way in life. See, when we look at Jacob, we see a man of basic obscurity. He ran for his life because he stole from his brother and his brother wanted to kill him. He tricked his dad. Now, he didn't need to do that because God said the younger is going to be the blessed one. He didn't have to do any of that. He was going to be the chosen one by God. God already said that. You know what? God does not need our trickery to accomplish His will. God does not need you to be a manipulator and a trickster for Him to make your life bring Him glory. In fact, He can get a whole lot more glory when you don't do that. But the glory that the sons of Laban were talking about was the greatness that Jacob had achieved while he was there. How he was a hard worker and how the herds and flocks of Laban had developed much under his care. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you choose to do. I love asking. In fact, I asked Skylar this week, what do you think you're going to do when you grow up? He said, I'm not sure. I said, well, you got a lot of time to figure that out. No rush. But I like asking that question. I asked that question to Stephen when he was in high school. You know, the point is, it doesn't matter what you choose to do. The key is, do your best at it. Amen. And let God bless you in it. And let God use that thing for greatness in your life and for His glory. He can do that if you'll let Him. See, part of this glory that God wants, has put within us, and not only Jacob, but Joseph and Benjamin Franklin and you, is the potential that He has created you to achieve. And I mentioned to you when we started this that Miles Monroe wrote a book, and he talked about, in the book, he talked about the richest place on the face of the earth. And I mentioned to you, the richest place he's identifying, the richest place on the face of the earth is a cemetery. Because of all the unreached potential that people take with them to the grave. Yes. My friend, if you're going to achieve greatness in your life, it's going to be in reaching your potential for the glory of God and for the greatness that He's put within you, you letting that come out with His blessings and His help. Last week, we talked about a sequoia tree. This week, we went over to Salem. I was over there on a trip with the boys in their school. And at Willamette Valley University, which is just south of the Capitol building for Oregon, there's these three sequoia trees. When I pulled in there and I parked there, I looked at those trees and I said, that's a sequoia tree. Because we were just talking about it last week in the sermon. That sequoia tree comes from a very tiny seed. I gave everybody a little grain of wheat last week. And the sequoia seed is about the size of that grain of wheat that I gave you. And it is the largest tree on earth. Comes from a little bitty seed. That great tree comes from a very small beginning. Nobody knew about Benjamin Franklin when he was growing up. He was a candlemaker's son. Very obscure beginnings. Very poor beginnings. But through ingenuity and through effort and through hard work and through using the potential that God put within him and bringing glory to God with it, he experienced greatness in his life. And you know what? I'm looking at a whole bunch of potential for greatness in this room right here. The question is, will you experience that greatness before you die? Or will you take that greatness into the grave with you? Everybody here has potential. The question is, will you achieve that potential? Will you experience the potential God puts within you? And here's another question, the impact. See, God put you on earth to have an impact for His glory. Question is, are you going to have that impact? Everybody here is going to leave a wake behind you. You ever seen a boat go through the water? Doesn't matter if they go fast or slow, they make a wake. Correct? In fact, some places they have a wake zone. You have to slow down because they don't want your wake to disturb the waterfront. But every boat, even a duck going through the water, makes a wake. You ever seen a snake go through the water? It makes a wake. Kind of eerie, especially when you're swimming. It's kind of weird. But I'm just saying, everybody here is going to make a wake. As you go through life, your life is going to make a wake. It's going to have an impact. Nobody lives completely isolated. Your life impacts the world around you. The question is, what kind of impact does it have? It will have an impact. The question is, what kind of impact will it have? See, God designed you to have a great impact for His glory. And He designed you to make a difference in the lives of others. You know, the Bible says in Jude 20. Says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. See, if we're going to make a difference that God wants us to make, if we're going to have the impact that God wants us to have, then we're going to have to walk with Him, and we're going to have to honor Him with our lives, and we're going to have to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We're going to have to grow in Him. And then He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer is going to help us to have the impact and make the difference God wants us to have. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, keeping ourselves close to God, keeping ourselves under the blessing of God, where God can bless us and use us for His glory. Those are the things that are going to help us to make the difference God wants us to make and to have the impact God wants us to have. And notice what He says in verse 22. And of some having have compassion, making a difference. See, God wants us to make a difference in the lives of people. He wants to help us to make a difference in their lives spiritually, and where our witness and our testimony and the things we share in their life from God have changed their spiritual family from Satan's family to God's family, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. See, He wants us to make a difference in their lives spiritually. But He wants us to make a difference as we go through life in many ways, making a difference. God wants us to bring Him glory. It says in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Is my life bringing God the glory He deserves? Is my life having an impact on others that brings glory to God? Is my life making a difference in the lives of others that brings glory to God? That's a question we all need to ask. If we're going to reach our potential that God put within us, we need to ask that question to keep us on track. See, the bottom line is, inside every one of us, God has put this glory, the glory for God, your life should be bringing. Your life is put here to bring glory to God.
Amen.
You know what messes that up? Sin.
Oh boy.
In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, the glory of God is His righteousness. The glory of God is His heaven. And the glory of God is His honor from us. And you know what? Sin destroys all of that. Sin keeps me from His heaven. Sin keeps me from His righteousness. And sin keeps me from honoring Him the way I should. But aren't you thankful for redemption?
Amen.
See, redemption and salvation restores the potential that our lives have for bringing God glory. Turn over there to Romans. Hold Genesis 30. We'll come back. But turn over there to Romans chapter 3. I quoted verse 23. It's very common to most here. But I want you to see the rest of that. Romans 3. Look at verse 24. See, redemption restores the potential of our lives to bring glory to God. Sin destroys God's glory in our lives. but redemption restores it. In verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the only way to be redeemed is through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. It says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. See, it's our faith in His shed blood to declare His righteousness for remission of sin. The only righteousness is going to get anybody into heaven is God's righteousness. And the only way to have God's righteousness is through faith in Jesus Christ. It says, to declare His righteousness for remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, the key is believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, my friend, I'm telling you, sin destroys your potential, my potential for God's glory in my life. But redemption restores that potential.
Amen.
See, salvation redeems. Salvation redeems what sin stole from us and what sin steals from God, so that we can bring glory to God again. Look back earlier in chapter 3 in verse 20. It says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. A lot of people have a religious background that teaches good works get you to heaven. Those good works sometimes are religious rules. Those good works sometimes are the Ten Commandments. But I'm telling you right now, the Bible says that the deeds of the law, good works, do not justify us of our sin. It's not my opinion, it's God's word. It's not Baptist thinking, it's biblical truth. Amen? See, it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. See, the deeds of the law and good works, they make us look good to one another, but they do not impress God.
Amen.
Only His righteousness will He accept into heaven, not our righteousness. And in fact, in Isaiah's prophecy, it says our righteousness compared to His righteousness is like filthy rags. Then in verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is what the Word of God teaches, the righteousness of God, not by the law, but look what it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and on all them that believe, for there is no difference. You can't say that there's a Methodist way to heaven or a Baptist way to heaven or a Catholic way to heaven or a Muslim way to heaven or a Hindu way to heaven. No, my friend, there's one way to heaven. It's God's heaven. It's God's way. It's found in God's word. And it's only through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way for everybody. There is no difference for anybody. See, God put within you this glory, but sin hinders it. But salvation can make it possible again. The second thing I want you to see is that seed of potential God puts within us all. We saw it. We can see it here with Jacob back in Genesis 30 about how Jacob said to Laban, when I came, you had little and now you have much. And even how Laban said, even before Jacob said that, how Laban said, I can see, I can have experienced greatness because of you being here. My friend, inside each one of us, there's that seed of potential for greatness, for God's glory. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. I know we looked at it a little bit last week, talking about God's design of His creation. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 11. I just want to take excerpts from that first week of creation. In verse 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. See, God put within creation the ability to reproduce, the ability to multiply, the ability to achieve more than just you. That's not only in procreation, that's also in in our productivity in our profession as well. Go to verse 20 in Genesis 1. It says, And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great wells and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Notice what he says in verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea. Let the fowl multiply in the earth. See, that command to be fruitful and multiply, not just to man. It's to all the animal kingdom. It's all to the birds and the fishes and all that God designed. He designed it with the ability to reproduce, to be productive, amen, to not stay on its own. And then in verse 24, it says, God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. That word kind means of the same type. You will never find anything in creation moving from one type to another type. Dogs are dogs, cats are cats. You're not going to have a cat dog. They reproduce their own kind. It says, God says, let us make man in our own image. This is on the same day, and he creates man. And again, he says in verse 28, he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, to replenish the earth and subdue it. See, Pastor, what's the point here? My point is, in chapter 30, that glory that Laban's sons talk about is exactly what we just read about. Jacob came in with nothing, and he's leaving with much. Jacob came to Laban, and Laban had very little, and now Laban has much. What did Jacob do while he was there? He was productive with the time he had. He was productive with the abilities he had. Through hard work and ingenuity, he accomplished glory for God, definitely for himself. Later on, it's going to be for God for sure. But my point is this. What are you doing with what you've got? Benjamin Franklin did not get where he was by just doing nothing. It was through hard work. It's through dreaming big.
That's right.
And putting forth the effort to make that dream come to reality. See, Jacob arrived at Laban's home with nothing, but he left with much. He left with much family. He married and he had children. He left with much livestock. And he left with some problems too. Laban wasn't happy with how he left, and his sons weren't happy. See, that's what trickery will get us. A lot of difficulties. See, Laban had very little when Jacob came and showed up at his home. But because of Jacob being there, Laban was blessed. Jacob accomplished much for Laban. You know what? As I mentioned before, God does not need our trickery to bless our lives. See, God wants to use your life to be a blessing to those around you. At work, God wants you to be a blessing to those around you.
Amen.
A Christian should never be the loafer at work. A Christian should not be the person nobody wants to work with. A Christian should not have the label... lazy.
Right.
See, at work, you're put there to be a blessing to those around you. To bless your coworkers with your work. To bless your boss with your work. One of the things I tell my kids growing up, one of the things I used to teach the teens when I was in youth ministry, is your first month there, you make yourself so valuable to your boss that if he's got to get rid of somebody, it's got to be somebody else because he doesn't want to get rid of you. It'll get you far in life if you work like that. The only job I ever got fired from, I got back the job the same day. I'm not going to tell you why I got fired. You'll have to ask me later. But the point is, I got the job back the same day. You want to know how I got the job back the same day? I humbled myself and I repented of being foolish. I repented to the person that I did it against, and I repented to the boss that fired me. And he says, you know, I've never had anybody do that before. I guess I'll give you another shot. Bottom line, I'm telling you, God wants your life to be a blessing at work.
Yes. Amen.
God wants to use your integrity to bless your family and your friends. God wants to use your prophets to bless His kingdom work on earth. A Christian that has been blessed by God ought to use those blessings to bless God.
That's right.
Tithes and offerings are how we bless God with the blessings that He's given to us. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, it fits in here real good. Your budget should not be 100%. Your budget should be under 100% of your income. Because you should always have a little bit to where you can help somebody else out. God wants to use your prophets to bless others. Somebody comes and they have a need. Your budget's 100% or your budget's 110% like most of America. You cannot help them even if you wanted to. See, God wants your achievements to bless the generation to come. Benjamin Franklin was a blessing to people long after he was dead. The things he wrote, the things he said, the things he discovered, they blessed people long after he was gone. The wake he made a positive difference on this earth. The nation, our own nation and the beginning of our nation is largely due to this statesman called Benjamin Franklin. A very modest beginning, a very, very unknown beginning. But he achieved greatness in his life. My friend, God wants your achievements to not only be great for you, be great for those who come behind you. See, I love watching the ladies when I go in there to pray and they're doing their crocheting thing and I see the things they create. Mrs. Sauer. Grandma Sauer, she's made afghans for, I think, everybody in her family. And she's still making afghans for more people. You know what? When Mrs. Sauer is gone, those afghans will still be in her family.
That's right.
Many of you have quilts that have been passed down through your family. And when you see those quilts, it reminds you of your grandma or your great-grandma or wherever it came from. It makes you remember that. I have some artwork that my mom made, and when I look at it, I think of her. When she's gone, it'll still be there, and I'll look at it and I'll think of her. My grandfather on my mom's side traveled all over the world. My mom was born in the Amazon basin of Brazil because my grandfather worked for the Goodyear Company in a rubber plantation there. But he traveled all over the world. He met emperors and all kinds of... He had great opportunities in Africa, South America, and in Asia. And he's got all these trinkets. When I was a kid, one of the things I loved to see is he had this python skin that was like 20 feet long. And he had these monkey skins, and he told me stories about these monkeys. And those things, I still have some of those things, and I still think about those stories. But the bottom line, the things you create will outlive you. Be creative. The things you leave behind will be part of the impact you have because you lived. The things you accomplish will continue even after you're gone. I have books on my shelf from people who lived over 100 years ago. And I'm still reading what they said and I'm learning from it. Many of you have books from people who lived over 100 years ago. And the things they wrote in those books are still affecting people today. My point is this. What are you achieving in the life you have? What kind of impact are you leaving behind? Because one day you're going to leave. What kind of impact are you going to leave behind? George Gallagher, I love this. He told me about, he gets a new Bible on a regular basis and he just reads it and he marks it and he just uses it and he uses it and he uses it. And when he's done using it, he gives it to one of his grandkids. And those kids are going to see it. After George is gone, that Bible is still going to be in their possession and they're going to read what Grandpa read and they're going to see what Grandpa wrote and those things are going to have an impact on those kids. And they may pass it on to their kids.
Amen.
But my question is, not are you living? My question is, what is your living leaving? That's my question. What are you leaving behind to make a difference? Then the last point is this. How you achieve greatness is greater than the greatness you achieve. I know that's a tongue twister, but just think about it. Let that sink in a little bit. How you achieve greatness is greater than the greatness you achieve. How do you define greatness? Some people define greatness in money. There's a lot of very wealthy people that are not great in God's eyes.
Oh boy.
Hugh Hefner is a very wealthy man, but not great. Right?
No,
not in God's eyes. What about name recognition? I'm sure most people on the face of the earth have heard the name Adolf Hitler. He's got name recognition. Not thinking very great, though.
Oh boy.
Correct? How about leaving an impact? Hitler definitely left an impact, responsible for millions of people being killed.
Right.
That's an impact. Not great, though. See, my point is this. How you achieve greatness is greater than the greatness you achieve. Jacob, some of the greatness he achieved was not done very greatly. Joseph, the greatness he achieved was done greatly. Isn't it amazing the difference one generation can make?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Amen.
From Jacob to Joseph, huge difference. Talk about integrity. Joseph was the epitome of integrity.
Amen.
In fact, to put him in jail, Potiphar's wife had to lie about him.
Right.
Pretty man of high integrity, amen? See, in chapter 30 and verse 42, it says, "But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and manservants and camels and asses." The point I'm trying to make is Jacob achieved greatness, and some of it was done in a great way. Some of it was done through trickery. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how you achieve greatness. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, "In the multitude of words there is want for sin. There is want, wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools just die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it." My friend, I don't know about you, but I want to achieve greatness in a way that I don't have a lot of regret. I want to achieve whatever wealth I achieve, I want to achieve through the blessing of God so there's no sorrow added with it. In Proverbs 14, it says, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, and the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof is the ways of death. Pride goeth before destruction." In verse chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, "Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, and to divide the spoils with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increase learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it, but instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and added learning to his lips. Pleasant are the words, as a honeycomb, and sweet to the soul, health to the bones. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof is the ways of death."
Right.
See, the way you achieve greatness is more important than the greatness you achieve.
Amen.
There's people that achieve greatness in ways that bring them great sorrow. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You may think what you're doing is great, but if it's not great in God's eyes, it's not great at all.
Right.
See, God wants to make us great without our manipulation. We see that transformation taking place in the life of Jacob. He's not nearly the trickster here he used to be. And later on, he's going to be even less. But Joseph, he achieved greatness with no trickery at all. In fact, everything was working against Joseph to achieve greatness, yet he still achieved greatness. See, God blesses hard work. How did Joseph get where he got? Hard work and the blessing of God. God blesses hard work. How did Benjamin Franklin get where he was? Hard work and the blessing of God. I'm going to tell you story after story. Tonight I'm going to tell you a story about a man who wrote hymns who are in our hymnal. And he had everything working against him to achieve greatness, yet he still achieved greatness. I'm telling you right now, in your life, God has the potential for greatness. But the question is, will you achieve it? And the second question is, how will you achieve it? Hard work will help you achieve it in a way that God can bless. And the last thing is this: God leads those who will listen, trust, and obey. Before you can obey, you got to trust. Before you can trust, you got to listen. We started this reading that God spoke to Jacob and says, I want you to leave where you are and go back home. Jacob listened. And Jacob trusted God, began to trust God, and he obeyed what God said, and God did a great work of change in Jacob's life. My question is to you, are you doing that? Are you obeying God, His will for your life? Well, you can't do that if you don't know what His will for your life is by listening to Him. Are you listening? And you're not going to do what He says if you don't trust Him. And trusting Him starts with that thing called redemption and salvation. Remember, I told you, sin destroys God's glory from your life. But redemption restores your potential. Salvation makes it possible. My friend, that's the first place to start trusting and obeying God. We sing a song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's more than just a song. It's a truth.
Amen.
That God wants to be real in your life and in my life. We need to listen, we need to trust, we need to obey. What has God been speaking to your heart about as you've been listening to Him through this message? What has He been speaking to your heart about? Have you been listening? If you have, are you going to trust Him? And if you're going to trust Him, will you do some action and obey Him? This invitation is about trusting and obeying. Because you've been listening, let's pray.